This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, April 29th, 2021. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart, sitting in for Cisco Cotto today. The Noon Business Hour, presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. There have been rumors over the years about a Bears stadium in Arlington Heights, and they're heating up once again. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the report on pending home sales is out, along with the weekly tally of jobless claims. We're joined by Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, based in Washington, joining us once again. Thanks for joining us again. Let's talk now about the GDP report that came out today. We talked about the President Biden's economic proposals in the State of the Union speech at 10:20 this morning. This morning, though, or this afternoon, we're still digesting that GDP report that suggests an annualized rate of economic growth at 6.4%. That's a little bit underestimates, and why did it fall short of what Wall Street was expecting?
Well, rather than to get into, let's say, the forecasts, which are mostly only relevant to traders, I think the most important aspect of this is that this is the strongest first quarter of GDP since the early 1980s, which is a parallel to the fact that growth for the full year is expected to be the strongest since the 1980s. And so we're on a very good growth path right now, in the sense of not only do we have a strong first quarter, the current second quarter is supposed to be even stronger as we see further reopening of the economy, Americans spending more on services, having already driven spending on goods up to past pre-pandemic levels. And obviously, a lot of this is federal stimulus. A lot of this is the fact that vaccinations have gone into arms and consumers not only have confidence, but they also have a better sense of safety that they can venture back out into public.
And it seems like we're still chipping away at that number of first-time unemployment claims that comes out every Thursday. They dropped 13,000 to 553,000, a sign the economy is healing, but still well above the level before the pandemic.
Well, sure. We're going to be in this part of the soup for a while still to go. We have 16.6 million Americans who are on some form of unemployment assistance. But, we're slowly winnowing this away as well. And we've had three straight weeks where new claims have declined. So I think all this really does fall under the general heading of improvement. But, you know, with an unemployment rate most recently on a monthly basis at 6%, obviously we have a long way to go to get back to that so-called full employment we enjoyed previously at 3.5%, possibly get below that if we have a little bit of luck come our way.
The housing market continues to be red hot. Pending home sales rose 1.9% in March. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. That's less than expected, but it's also a sign there's kind of a ceiling now on the housing market, either when it comes to the price tag or just the amount of homes available.
Well, we might have said that 6 or 12 or 18 months ago, too, right? So the biggest problem for home sales broadly is lack of supply, lack of inventory. Builders are trying to answer that demand, but they're also in the process of, you know, having to deal with a crazy cross currents and in the sense of rising prices, whether it's for lumber, where the price of a 2x4 is up four times over the past year. They're having to compete for workers and other issues with raw materials. The good news is that as we look at it here at Bankrate, mortgage rates, while having risen somewhat, are still below where they were a year ago. And so that's an opportunity to work that part of the affordability equation, even while home prices are not giving us much help in that regard.
Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst, Bankrate.com, based in Washington. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Coming up, we examine the possibility of a new Bears stadium in the northwest suburbs.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The expected sale of Arlington Park in the northwest suburbs is refueling talk of a new Bears stadium on the 326-acre property. We welcome in Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Everything old is new again. This is taking me back 25 years when all the rumors were swirling about the Bears needed a new modern home to replace Soldier Field. Was it going to be at the Arlington Park site? Were they going to build McDome as part of McCormick Place? But the Arlington Park story has reared its head once again as a possible Bears destination. How much fire is associated with the smoke here?
It's a little hard to tell, but there sure is a lot of smoke, is a short answer. You mentioned at the top that there was controversy over the time about whether remodeling Soldier Field would give the Bears a modern stadium. Well, that was 25 years ago. 25 years later, it's even less of a good stadium than most NFL teams have. There's no roof, so they can't attract things like Super Bowls. There's limited signage, there's limited number of skyboxes or whatever, all of which affects the team's bottom line. And if you know the McCaskies, the bottom line is what comes first in their business. So here you have this big site out in the suburbs where a good chunk of their fan base is. And when I asked the team yesterday to comment on some pretty widespread rumors that the team has begun talking to the owners of Arlington, Churchill Downs Corp., they wouldn't knock it down. And I asked them like three or four different ways, and all of them says, well, we're focused right now on Soldier Field. We want to get it reopened in the fall, whatever. And I said, you know, you're leaving the impression that there's something to this. And I got the same kind of answer, which clearly suggested that something was going on. The only question is whether they're seriously moving or whether they're using it as leverage to try to get a better deal at Soldier Field. Now, the latest development is the mayor was asked about this at her availability a couple hours ago, and she didn't exactly knock it down either. She says, well, you know, they have this lease until 2033, and the NFL doesn't let teams out of leases, and yeah, I did have a call last week with the senior leadership of the team, it's a wonderful site, but it's challenging for the team, and we're going to have some conversations. Well, exactly what that means isn't quite clear, but like I said, there's an awful lot of smoke here.
And this is very quickly, though, this kind of runs in the face of the trend in stadium construction over the past 25 years or so, that you put a major sports facility downtown as an economic revitalization engine, and the idea of putting these concrete facilities in the suburbs are ideas that were best left in the 70s.
There is some truth to that, but a large number of NFL teams don't play anywhere near central cities anymore. And when they do build stadiums downtown, they tend to be multi-use facilities with domes, like a Detroit, for instance, because you can use them for multiple things. It maximizes the revenue capacity. Above and beyond that, Soldier Field is on the small side as NFL teams go. So, are we talking potentially another renovation there? Is there a way to dome it? Is all this stuff in Arlington just a subterfuge, a trick? It's very hard to tell, but like I said, there's an awful lot of smoke.
For joining us this afternoon, of course, you could check out all of our draft coverage tonight. That's on AM 780. Jeff Joniak, a cast of thousands, breaking down the Bears' pick. They picked 20th this evening. Hear that? AM 780. The news continues on 105.9 FM.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new trend in travel involves grandparents and grandkids, but not parents. Joining us now in the McGrath Lexus business line is Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, Arizona, the website travelbta.com. Angie, thanks for joining us this afternoon. The three problems seem to have popped up during the pandemic. Grandparents want to see their grandkids, people want to travel, and parents want some time alone. And this trend called gramping seems to it's a tie on all angles and solves all of those problems.
So true. I think the trend is, like you said, it's particularly growing during the pandemic because we've had isolation from grandparents. And now that grandparents are getting vaccinated, it's a great opportunity for families to reconnect. And simply with parents being home and kids e-learning, it's this opportunity to visit and then allow the parents to either stay home and have some privacy while the grandparents travel with the children.
And in your experience as a travel advisor, these multi-generational trips, skipping mom and dad, where are the grandparents going?
Really, it's important to evaluate the interests of the grandparents and also the interests of the children so everybody has a great experience. And I think for grandparents, it's looking for certain interests and hobbies that you share with your grandchildren, or picking up a series of books and emulating a experience that documents something that was read. For example, a Harry Potter experience would warrant, you know, reading the books and then traveling. And we've actually done that type of itinerary on a trip to London where it was multi-gen and the grandparents took the kids to the Harry Potter amusement park while the parents had a nice day off in London. And Disney cruises are also fun for grandparents and children because a lot of parents are looking for a break away from the amusement parks, whereas for grandparents, it's a great opportunity for the kids to be entertained so they're not having to do as much of the entertaining themselves.
Yeah, grandma and grandpa take the kids to the water slide and then just stay there for a couple of hours and while mom and dad have some well-deserved time to themselves. What is a good sweet spot, though, for the age of children, for the grandparents to feel comfortable taking them abroad and also so the kids actually get something out of it as well and remember what they did?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to consider. With some kids who are very well-traveled, it can be an earlier age. But I think right around age 10 and 12, the kids are getting more independent. And depending on the relationship with their grandkids, it becomes a great age to really start exploring those trips without mom and dad. And I also feel that, you know, especially with college age students not necessarily having the schedule and time to visit with their grandparents, it's really, you know, makes for a great graduation present for high school students going on to college, as well as college students prior to entering the workforce, that they spend a trip with their grandparents. And for the older kids, they like the vacations sometimes that are built around a city. So in the U.S., I would recommend a trip to New York or Boston or maybe as far south as Charleston. And again, it also opens the opportunity to think about international travel when the children are older.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, the website travelbta.com. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, Apple and Facebook scoring big in the first quarter of the year.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart in Francisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM. The city of Chicago easing more restrictions as COVID-19 numbers improve. The updated guidance is music to the ears of the city's restaurant industry. In Technology Thursday, Apple and Facebook flying high. We'll dig into their latest quarterly reports. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is up 113 points. The NASDAQ is down 19. The S&P 500 up 13. AccuWeather says clouds and breaks of sunshine. Breezy and milder this afternoon. Could see a shower or a thunderstorm in spots. A high today of 66, cooler at the lake. 58 degrees at O'Hare under partly sunny skies. 54 at Midway. 50 at the lakefront. 58 in Glenview at 12:31. And topping our news at the half hour, Mayor Lightfoot says improved coronavirus numbers will allow large gatherings in Chicago, especially when attendees have been vaccinated against COVID-19.
Fully vaccinated guests won't count towards capacity at weddings and other private events for the very first time, giving event venues the opportunity to safely expand capacity while encouraging and incentivizing people to get vaccinated.
In addition, Bulls and Blackhawks fans will be able to attend games at the United Center at 25% capacity. Mayor Bill de Blasio expects to fully reopen New York City over the summer. He says stores, offices, and theaters can operate at full strength, citing improved COVID-19 conditions.
We are ready to bring New York City back fully on July 1st. All systems go because you've
earned it. We're going to keep working hard every day to make this city safer and safer.
It's unclear whether the mayor has the power to make that call. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has maintained throughout the pandemic that those decisions are his alone. A reminder, radio.com is now Audacy. Download the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and listen to WBBM and all the news, sports, music, and podcasts that move you. The Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are mixed today. We're joined by Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Jim, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Despite those blowout numbers from Facebook and Apple, which we'll discuss in our next segment, the NASDAQ is below the center line today. So what's dragging that market down?
Yeah, the good news is that earnings have by and large been better than expected. The economy is reopening. Demand is good. And the FANG company earnings are have surpassed expectations. The bad news is some of it has already been priced into these stocks. Since you've had such a good run in the market from the low 13 months ago, and that investors are saying, okay, we expected this, so we're going to keep the stocks where they are, not take them further up. And specifically in the case of Apple, it was so good in terms of the numbers that people are worried that they pull forward demand from the rest of this year. So there are a lot of company-specific issues, but I'd say that the big picture is the economy is good, earnings are good, and the stock price reactions have been very tepid.
And a lot to like about that GDP report that came out this morning, that if you set aside the pandemic bounce back third quarter of 2020, it's the best number since 2003 or before that, the beginning of 1984.
Yeah, and it's only going to get better because we still have a lot of pent-up demand. We still have more people to get employed. We have more restaurants and hotels and cruise ships to open. So this year is going to be an excellent year in the economy, albeit with higher inflation and some cost increases that have got some investors worried. And then it's going to be gangbusters next year. The fiscal stimulus of this year will have worn off, and you're going to have some tax increases. So next year we could decelerate somewhat from this year. But right now the runway looks good.
And when it comes to achieving takeoff speed and also a cruising altitude, when this is all said and done, I mean, when we get to the end of 2021, are we going to be at where we should have been without a pandemic, or will we have exceeded the trajectory that was in play at the beginning of 2020?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I would say that we will either be at it or exceed it modestly, and then we'll be comfortably ahead of it by the end of next year. So we are making real progress. Companies have adapted. Consumers have adapted. The consumer savings rate is very high in the numbers this morning. So the consumer has purchasing power, and corporations have really cut costs and are lean and mean. So both the corporate and consumer sector are in good shape. So that I think the numbers that we look at for the foreseeable future are good. Of course, in the back of our minds, we have to worry about when the Fed's going to start to take the punch bowl away. But Powell made it clear yesterday in his testimony in his press conference that it's not a this-year event.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, Facebook and Apple reporting blowout quarters.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Apple and Facebook are on a roll. Joining us now on the McGrath-Lexis business line is Jeff Kilberg, Chief Investment Officer, Sanctuary Wealth, based in Chicago. Jeff, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Facebook and Apple, the word blowout being bandied about as they talk about their first quarter earnings reports. Apple sales up 54%, Facebook revenue up 48%, driven by higher priced ads. Is the sky the limit for both companies, or will they come down a little bit as the year goes on?
Well, Rob, it's interesting to see such a strong tech earnings. And this week we're seeing a lot of different tech earnings, but Facebook still up about 6.5% of the day. Apple, a little bit of mixed here. We just saw it actually go negative after the stellar blowout earnings you talked about, when you see that type of year-over-year growth, over 54% year-over-year growth, they're hitting all cylinders on Apple. And certainly that's in the wake of COVID-19, where we're seeing more of a hybrid work from anywhere. People are really looking to upgrade their devices, if it's an iPhone, if it's a Mac, or it's an iPad. But I think the wild card right here in the stock ticker being unchanged for the day is this sustainable? Are we going to be able to see them do this quarter after quarter? I think the answer is yes, Rob. We are seeing Apple. They really figured out that Asia. Asia and China was the wild card, and now they are actually selling iPhones and iPads over there. But Facebook's still really up on the day, and this is really fascinating to see how well they're doing. I've been a big fan of Facebook on the IPO. You know, takeoff, it's $326. That debuted at $39. So it's been a heck of a ride in Facebook. It's certainly been volatile, but they're doing everything right. And I think all these tech stocks, this is really the global reopening proxy. If we see these tech giants continue to report so well, we're looking for Amazon, another $100 billion potentially. We're going to find out after the close. But we see these tech giants continue to provide leadership. I think that bodes really well for all of the stock market, and we have an opportunity to take another leg higher.
Now, the tech sector was the absolute winner of 2020 as everybody kind of adapted to remote recreation, remote working environment, a socially distanced environment. But how are some of these tech companies going to do? How are they going to compete with this brand new killer app called Outside as people get vaccinated and go back to some of the activities they used to enjoy in 2019?
You bring up a great point, Rob, and certainly as we stop using our thumb to press on our iPhones to order from Amazon, we will revert to going on being social and seeing people and playing Frisbee, throwing the football, absolutely. But I think what's happened here is how we all work. I look at, you know, myself and my team, you know, we reconsider on how we are working. And a lot of this is technologically infused. So if it's Microsoft, which is down on the day, but still had a great quarter, if it's Google, if it's Facebook, if it's Amazon, all these different tech giants are really feeding into it. And if you look at e-commerce in general, for those of you who are not using Amazon or Apple or buying things online, you are now. And I don't think that really changes dramatically as we kind of go back to normalcy. And certainly here in Chicago, we have not had normalcy for quite some time. So I agree with you. And that's why we believe owning these tech stocks are important moving forward, but own them in an equal weighted manner. Diminish your exposure. They've had a great rally. It's been a little volatile in the last 6 months. We've talked a lot here on WBBM Radio about how to own these names, but own them in an equal weighted position or where you're comfortable from a risk suitability, because there is going to be more volatility as we see this uneven, this dislocated component between Main Street and Wall Street. As we figured out this fall, that is going to provide some volatility for these tech names.
And then very quickly, you know, the acceleration in the tech sector, the pandemic didn't disrupt the tech sector so much as move everything forward by 5 years, it sounds like.
Well, and that's what a lot of people today specifically look at the Apple. When you see it down on the day, people are saying that exact thing, Rob. Did we steal some of the future of the earnings of Apple? I say no. We're seeing Apple considering a $90 billion buyback. What does that mean? They're buying more of their stock. They make $90 billion in one quarter, so why not throw it back in the stock? So all these buybacks will fuel these stocks higher as well.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Jeff Kilburg, Chief Investment Officer, Sanctuary Wealth, based in Chicago, joins this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the Chicago restaurant industry hails a loosening of COVID restrictions.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The COVID vaccination effort is helping reduce virus numbers and allowing increased capacity at restaurants and other venues in Chicago. That's welcome news for many people, including Frank Ruffalo, managing partner, Il Cullicino in Chicago. Frank, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Anytime.
How many times have you and the other restaurateurs who have managed to weather the pandemic just turn on Elton John's I'm Still Standing and sing it at the top of your lungs? Because it feels like getting to this point 1 year in is a major accomplishment.
Absolutely. I mean, to think that it's been a year is kind of shocking. You just kind of keep waking up and just taking the day's news as it comes. So, you know, we're still here. We survived the hard part. So I think the rest of it, as long as you could stay afloat, you'll be all right.
When assessing your progress over the course of the past year, obviously the future is very bright. The city is loosening capacity restrictions, and something resembling normal operation is in the cards. But when you look back, do you think back on all the challenges? Do you think back on the restaurants that didn't make it? Or do you just look back on the fact that you were resilient and managed to survive?
You know what? We're happy to still be here. There have been multiple hurdles that people have had to jump. You know, at this location, we're lucky where we kind of had a backup plan with our retractable roof. But I really do feel bad for, you know, the owner operators out there that were trying to struggle to put something together on a patio and make a building that wasn't a building that still, you know, complied with all the restrictions. So, you know, it's really been challenging, and I'm glad to see some of these changes. It's, you know, seeing that they're not going to count vaccinated people towards private events, it kind of reminds me back of the days when you had a smoking and non-smoking section. Now you're going to have a vaccinated and non-vaccinated section. So there's still a couple hurdles we're going to have to go through just to make sure you comply. But, you know, it's nice to see that there is a light at the end of this tunnel.
What are some of the pandemic innovations that you had to put together? What are some of those business practices that may survive beyond the pandemic restrictions?
Well, obviously, I think carryout is still going to be a large part of everyone's business. That's something that's not going to go away. And now with this retractable roof, we had it open on days when it never would have been open before. I think people are going to be more comfortable if there's going to be a little bit of a breeze and they want some airflow moving. And then you're going to have normal people that just want to go and they're ready to be outside. They're ready to gather with people. So, you know, keeping the spacing, keeping the time limits, I think that's definitely going to stick around because this industry's taken such a beating that we're going to need to turn those tables over when this pent-up demand just, you know, rises. So there's going to be a lot of changes that are going to stick around, but ultimately, you know, we still want to serve you. We want you to have a good time. Enjoy the time with your friends and family and your guests.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Frank Ruffalo, Managing Partner, Il Cullicino in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.